tonight. Everybody turn to Isaiah chapter 38. We read the first three verses the last time I was here, which seems like about a year and a half ago, but it really hasn't been that long, but it just feels like it. We'll have to wait and see how this turns out today, because apparently Roger's platter isn't the only thing I forgot today. I forgot my notes, so this is going to come from memory, and when you're 70 years old, you're in trouble, you know. So anyway, Isaiah chapter 38, and we're going to read the first three verses to start off with, to kind of catch up to where we were. Verse 1, in those days was Hezekiah sick unto death, and Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, came unto him and said unto him, thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Then Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall and prayed unto the Lord and said, Remember now, O Lord, I beseech thee, how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. So Hezekiah has reached a point in his life when he thinks he's going to die. I mean, that's what the Lord told Isaiah to tell him. And it says right there, the first part of verse 38, in those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. He was going to die. So Isaiah the prophet came to him and said, thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Now, I didn't bring this out the last time, but, you know, each and every one of us, we need to set our house in order, because we're going to die and not live. Unless the Lord comes and takes us home, there's going to come a point in time when we're going to die and not live. We need to set our house in order. Then Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall, this is verse 2, and prayed unto the Lord. Now, I did go into this pretty good the last time. Some say that he didn't want the people to see him crying, because in verse 3 it says that he wept sore. But I believe that this was to be more private in his prayer. The Bible tells us, you know, sometimes we do pray aloud, but a lot of times we need to go into our closets instead of being out in front of people and have them hear us pray and thinking, well, you know, what a spiritual man he is. In other words, Hezekiah, he turned his face to the wall. He wanted to be private with his prayer. And he said, remember now, O Lord, I beseech thee, how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart. Now, he's bragging sort of, kind of. He's telling the truth of his life, but he's forgetting some parts of it. And we'll get into that a little bit later, if I remember. And I have done that which is good in thy sight, and Hezekiah wept sore. Now, why was Hezekiah weeping? Now, some would say, and many do, he was weeping because he was going to die. Now, I think it was more than that. I think, up in verse 1, it says, in those days. What days were that? This was the days that Assyria was come to try to take Jerusalem. This was when all this was going on. Bad things were happening, and he didn't know the outcome yet. And he didn't know whether Jerusalem was going to stand. They had already taken several of the cities of Judah. And I believe this was probably even more so than his own demise. He didn't know how this was going to turn out. How was his people going to handle this? Verse 4, then came the word of the Lord to Isaiah, saying, now, why is it done this way? Why didn't he just come to Hezekiah and tell Hezekiah? Because God says everything is to be done decently and in order. God speaks to His people through His men. We have a pastor. He comes up here and he preaches God's word. He delivers the message that the Lord has given him. Same kind of thing here. The Lord said to Isaiah, "Go and say to Hezekiah," verse 5, "Go and say to Hezekiah, thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will add unto thee, unto thy days, 15 years. And we're going to do a little bit of math here. Hezekiah began to reign when he was 25 years old. And he reigned 29 years. So he was, at this time, 39 years old. Which would make him a young man, especially in my eyes. But anyway, he's going to add to him 15 years. Now, there are some that say, well, this was all in God's plan. And this is true. It was in God's plan. But God also said that you're going to die and not live. And some will say, well, yeah, but he didn't say when he was going to die. Yeah, he told him to set his house in order. He was going to die then. He was going to die soon. But here, God heard his prayer. And it says here, I will add unto thy days 15 years. Now, God doesn't make mistakes. And I don't understand this. This is the only time that there's anything like this in the Bible. Now, we have had people that had died and were brought back to life. There's multiple occasions that happened. But this was a guy who was still alive and was told through the priest, the prophet, that he was going to die and not live. And God heard his prayer. And he's told him, he said, I will add unto thy days 15 years. So, you figure it out, what it means to you. I believe it means that he added unto his days 15 years. That's what it says. Was that in God's plan? Absolutely. And people seem to think that this all happened after Assyria went home, after they got chased out. But this was right about that time. Things were still going on. Because in verse 6 it says, "And I will deliver thee and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city." So either they were already there or about to be there. I believe they were probably already there for the way things were going here. And he says, you know, I'm going to deliver thee and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city. In other words, he's not going to let Jerusalem fall. He's not going to let Hezekiah fall. He's already added to him 15 years. And he went on. And I believe, I don't know what all Hezekiah's prayer said. There's some verses we're going to get to hopefully later. Some of the things that were on his mind. But he said, you know, I'm going to defend this city. Now, we're coming up on an election. Now, it's how can I say this? I don't want to. We're in a battle. We're in a battle, and we're not choosing one man over the other man in this battle. We're choosing to follow God or not. And we need to say, okay, which one is following closer after God than the other? And that's the only way I can say it. You know, ain't either one of them worth much, just to be honest about it. But they are the ones that are there. And if you look throughout all of the history of Judah, they had some pretty rotten kings. They had some good kings. Israel, the northern kingdom, they didn't have any good kings. They were all rotten. And of course, they were already in the hands of Assyria. But anyway, we need to be much in prayer. I don't know if our country can stand, just be honest about it. We'll have to wait and see. Anyway, he told him, yeah, I'm going to deliver you out of the king of Assyria's hands, and I'll defend this city. And verse 7, and this shall be a sign unto thee from the Lord, that the Lord will do this thing that he has spoken. Now, why would the Lord do that? Why would he say that? You know, this is going, I'm going to send you a sign. I'm going to prove to you. Well, in this particular case, I believe it was to show them, you know, that it wasn't in their hands. This was all in God's hands. He was going to defend the city. I'm going to defend the city. And to prove it, I'm going to do this. Now, hold your place here and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, I believe. If not, I'm going to be really embarrassed. Yes, and verse 22. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. Got to have a sign. And doesn't that pretty much talk about our country anymore? You know, show me that. You know, there's a lot of people, you know, that live in the show me state, but we're not going there. That's not what we're talking about here. He says they require a sign. And this was after all the things that Christ had done while he was here on the earth. All the lives that he had touched, things that he had accomplished that were miraculously done, that could only be done by the power of God, and still yet they require a sign. It didn't start just then. I mean, it goes all the way back. And he tells Hezekiah, and this shall be a sign unto thee from the Lord, that the Lord will do this thing that he has spoken. I keep my promises. And to show you, I'm going to give you a sign. Verse 8, behold, I will bring again the shadow of the degrees which is gone down to the sundial of Ahaz 10 degrees backward. So the sun returned 10 degrees by which degree it was gone down. Now, I once read an article somewhere where this scientific guy came up with it and said, well, if that had happened, you know, if he stopped the earth, all the mountains and the continents and everything like that would just tumble over. They would keep right on going. And it didn't say he stopped the earth. It says he turned it back 10 degrees. God created the earth. God created everything. Everything you see, everything you don't see, God created. He's able to keep it. He says, I'm going to show you. And he turned it back 10 degrees. So the sun returned 10 degrees, by which degree it was going down. Proof positive. I mean, is there anything that God can't do? Apparently a lot of people think so. He can turn this country around. We're getting ready to have a revival meeting. Hopefully, we are going to have a revival meeting. Brother Matt can't bring it with him. It's got to be here. We need to be praying about this. And I mean, maybe with tears like Hezekiah, facing the wall, facing the floor. So, after Hezekiah is healed, all the things that are done according to what the Lord told him through Isaiah, verse 9, the writing of Hezekiah, king of Judah, when he had been sick and was recovered of his sickness. These are the things that he wrote down. After the disease was gone, the illness was over, and he was well again. Verse 10, I said in the cutting off of my days, or when I was told I was going to die, I shall go to the gates of the grave. I am deprived of the residue of my years. Now, Hezekiah apparently died when he was about 54 years old. So he was still not that old of a man. And that was after he was given the additional 15 years. But he was, said, you know, when I heard of the end of my days, he says, I shall go to the gates of the grave. I'm going to enter in to the grave. And I'm deprived of the residue of my years. And in this, he was wrong. We're not guaranteed tomorrow. We don't have days to come. We have now. God can take us home at any time He so chooses. He has written a time down for each and every one of us. And in Hezekiah's instance, I believe there were 2 days. I believe there was a day when he told him he was going to die, and I believe there was a day when he added 15 years to him. Is God allowed to do that? Yeah. He can do what he wants. He's God. But I'm deprived of the residue of my years. He wasn't deprived of anything. When we thank the Lord first thing in the morning when we get up, thank you for this day and this time of prayer. That's usually how I start my prayers. Thank you for this day. This one right here. Not tomorrow. I don't know about tomorrow. I might not be here. Verse 11, I said, I shall not see the Lord, even the Lord, in the land of the living. In other words, I'm going to see Him in my mind's eye. Now, we haven't seen the Lord physically. We won't until we get to heaven. First of all, we don't have a glorified body, and we're not able to be in His presence. We couldn't stand it. But He said, I'm not going to be able to see the Lord in the land of the living, meaning physically. I shall behold man no more with the inhabitants of the world. My acquaintances, all these things that people that I've met, the friendships and the enemies, and all gone. Now, we make decisions throughout our life that affect our lives. And we make friends sometimes of people we shouldn't. I think, if a person is evil in some degree, we should, at best, hold them as acquaintances, because sometimes you just have to do business with people, whether they be evil or not. But he's saying here, I won't behold men with the inhabitants of the world. You know, the things of the earth are going to be gone from me. It's all over with. It's not all over with. Just the things pertain to the earth. Verse 12, mine age is departed and is removed from me as a shepherd's tent. Now, there's a lot of people have different ideas on this here. He's talking about a tent, actually, where, you know, the shepherd's habitation, where he sleeps. He's going to be sleeping somewhere else now. He's not going to be sleeping in a tent on the earth. He said, I have cut off like a weaver my life. In other words, his life is like a tapestry or a piece of cloth. The threads are woven together and all this, and some of us lived long enough and stuff where we might make a washcloth. Others, you know, you could make a blanket out of their lives. My life has been full in God's house anyway. There's a lot of things there, but he's talking here, you know, it's like the cloth is coming out of the loom and it's going to be cut off just like that. That's it. That's all there is. Done. He will cut me off with pining sickness. Now, this means it's going to get worse, this sickness. Now, this is, like I said, this is after he's already well. But he had a sickness that was going to get worse and worse and worse. It wasn't going to get better. From day even to night wilt thou make an end of me. Now, some say that this means that he was going to die in a day's time. I believe that it meant that he was going to die soon, and it was just going to get progressively worse. I don't necessarily think it meant that he was going to die in a day's time. Possible, but that's what I think. Anyway, verse 13, I reckon till morning that as a lion, so will he break all my bones. From day even to night wilt thou make an end of me. So he says, you know, I figure I'm going to last till morning. So from day to night to morning, that's longer than now, but anyway, as a lion, so will he break all my bones. I'm going to be in such misery, in such agony. Like if a lion had caught you and was gnawing on your bones and breaking them. From day even to night wilt thou make an end of me. Verse 14, likewise a crane or a swallow, so did I chatter. He made noise. In other words, you know how when you're in pain, I know when I'm in pain, sometimes something like that, and kind of say, a crane is a loud bird. And sometimes he hollers out, oh, when you're in pain, real pain. And a swallow is a quiet bird. Oh, you're still in pain, just not as bad. I did mourn as a dove. Now, I'm sure everybody here has heard a dove. That is a mournful sound that they make. Like that. Now, I want to apologize to everybody that says you don't sound like a dove, but I don't claim to be a bird expert, but, you know, it's a mournful sound. My eyes fell with looking upward, O Lord, I am oppressed. Undertake for me. Again, we got to remember, this is after he was healed. These are the things that he recalls, the things that he remembers about when he was sick. My eyes fell with looking upward. You know, when you're really hurt, and you go, ooh, like that, your eyes just automatically close. I don't think that's what this means, but he's looking upward. He's looking upward to the Lord. You know, Lord, deliver me from this. And he did. He did deliver him. I am oppressed. Undertake for me. This disease, this illness is tearing him off. Undertake for me. God undertakes for his children. He does. Verse 15, what shall I say? He has both spoken unto me, and himself hath done it. I shall go softly all my years in the bitterness of my soul. This is a verse that is, when I first started reading it, I didn't understand it a bit, just to be honest about it. But the Lord spoke, and he says, what shall I say? He has both spoken unto me, and himself hath done it. He is oppressed, or in pain and agony, and he asked the Lord to undertake for me, and he did. God answers prayer. Now sometimes the answer is no. But we are to take our needs and our wishes before him. I think those that we pray for, I believe that it has an effect on them. I know that people have prayed for me when I was in the hospital a good while ago now. And here I am. Was I going to die? No. But I believe that my healing was maybe affected by the prayers of God's children, of those that that loved me, even those that didn't even know me. I'm sure there was some that didn't even know me that was praying for me. He said, I shall go softly in all my years, his remaining years. What's that mean? He's going to go willingly. He won't have to be coerced or forced to do the things of the Lord. In the bitterness of my soul, he's going to remember back to all this stuff that had been going on, all the pain that he'd been going through. He's going to remember the king of Assyria. He's going to remember all this stuff. And he's going to go willingly to do what the Lord would have him to do. And we're going to stop there. I really wanted to get a little bit farther than that. We're coming close to the end of Hezekiah's reign. Hopefully next Sunday we can end that. And anyway, maybe next week I'll remember to bring my notes with me. Anyway, everybody stay tuned. In about 5 minutes, Pastor's going to bring a great message.